Maurizio is a chartered marketeer, and he's a hybrid, not just a academic, but he's also a practitioner of several items, including sustainable marketing, and has worked in several industries, the automotive, pharmaceutical, electronics, and defense. And since 2001, I'm right in saying that you've been an academic, and you've been with the University of Hertfordshire lecturing in sustainable marketing. And in addition to that, you've been doing several live client consultancy projects, one of which is funded by the DTI, called the Knowledge Transfer Partnerships.
Got it.
You have established what's called SPRING, and I understand that stands for Sustainable Business Practices Research Interest Group at University of Hertfordshire. And one aspect of that is the product service systems that you're actually going to share with us today.
Absolutely.
Without further ado, over to Maurizio.
Thank you very much, Siva. Thank you very much. Thanks. So the very first thing I'd like to do is thank you to Siva and thank you to the BCS to give me this opportunity to and sponsoring this talk. And I also would like, obviously, to thank the British Academy, that, after all, they are the people, the organization that funded the research I'm going to share with you. What I'm going to talk about in terms of program, I'll start to talk about product service systems, what they are and defining them. And I want to say a couple of things on collaborative consumption and what link is there between the two. Then I want to talk about the environmental and social benefits of PSS. And I'll call it PSS because it's shorter. And really the key aspect of tonight's presentation is the sustainability aspect. So it's about sustainability. It's a way to get to sustainability. Then we'll talk about the constraints. So, you know, what is it if you accept that is a sort of business model that, shall we say, it is green? So you would say, well, let's adopt it. Let's diffuse it, wholesale in the economy. And so we want to know what is it that stops it? You know, why it may not work. I will come to the key contribution of what I've been doing in most of the year, which is what the consumers think, because there is a lot of research on PSS. There are a lot of case studies and models. What hasn't been done that much is ask consumers, would you actually consume this way, you know, not buying and instead sharing with other people? And that's what my contribution is. I sort of interrogate consumers, since in business is something which is very well accepted. And I'll offer you some examples of these examples, these case studies. And then we'll have conclusions and suggestions. And one of the things I will try to do is trying to see whether there is some specific benefits or implications for the ICT industry and ICT professionals. Just to give an introduction and go back in time, how it came around, it's a project that is funded by the British Academy. So I applied for a grant, and my interest was that, you know, looking at different avenues to render the economy sustainable. A lot of experts talk about dematerialization, so dematerialize the economy. If you sell cars, you got to take the material to make them, and so that, you know, it's got a material requirement, and so that creates the environmental impact. And so because of trying to dematerialize the economy, I came across the concept of PSS, product service system, which is something that addresses this problem. And what I've done, for various reasons, I tried to interrogate consumers on a special type of PSS based on maternity equipment. And that includes things like prams, car seats, cots, and even things like milk bottles. So various types of of products. And the reason was that I wanted something extreme. So something that consumers would say, share that? Probably not. So that's why I done it. And obviously, I needed something more accepted like cards to compare the two things. And obviously, I had done the usual literature review, so I had a lot of reading to go through. But in a nutshell, what I had done in terms of methodology, it has been mainly qualitative because there is not much research on it. And it is very difficult to ask questions on PSS because, you can ask people, would you lease something or rent it or share it, but it's difficult to explain what a PSS is. In fact, that's a challenge that we are going through now because it's difficult to explain, why is it called that way. So because of that, the only way was to create, use some methodology that was mainly qualitative. And in a nutshell, what that involved was a set of in-depth interviews with experts. And I think the most valuable area of that is when I interviewed companies that were mainly involved in car sharing. And then the focus groups. And I also interview people who are PSS experts, but obviously they told me things that I already knew, whereby the consumers told me things that I didn't know. And so they were, in a way, a little bit more interesting. So I would say, first of all, give you the book definition of product service system, and then we'll go through a few examples to put some meat on the bone. So the book definition is this. As you can see, it has got a product component, so it's a tangible component, and it has got a service component. And it has got a support network, so something that keep it together, and an infrastructure. And what is important, because that's not new. In fact, when I show you the example, you'll see that it is quite obvious, really. It's not nothing so disruptive, shall we say, innovative. But the key is that you want to design in a special way. And when I go through the examples, I explain what I mean by that. Something that is designed to be a PSS rather than a product that is sold, etc. And it's designed also to minimize the environmental impacts. So to try to make sure that pollution or waste or whatever it is that you could call environmental impact is minimized. In practice, one of the aspects is that it's a sort of way of consuming which is not based on transfer of ownership. So in other words, people wouldn't buy a car or they wouldn't buy a laptop, but they would share it or lease it or rent it. So it's something that definitely you come across already because it's not unheard of. So in terms of looking at examples, I want to show you some examples of, relative to business, specific to business, and then a couple of examples specific to consumers, and then some examples are pilots. In other words, they don't really exist yet. They're just tests. But they actually have been tested on the market. So one of the most illustrious is Xerox. Photocopier machines or document management, they would rather call themselves that way. And forever, I would say from the start, Xerox never sold their machines. Among various reasons, one was the cost. They were very expensive and large as well. So the main reason, the main driver of having a system which is not based on transferring ownership, is based on leasing, was financial. In other words, the customers would say, I'm not going to buy that because it's too expensive. And obviously, photocopying is not easy to justify. It doesn't matter if it's a Rolls Royce or photocopiers. And so from the beginning, they sort of configured themselves, not for environmental reasons, but for financial reasons, to lease these machines. Then, for various reasons, they started to introduce balances where They maximized the recycling. They also sold, they not sold, but they gave consumer, they gave users recycle machines or remanufacturing machines, that's more appropriate, remanufacturing machines. And they sort of kept hold and look after the machine during all the life cycle. And that's a very, very important aspect of PSS, the concept of life cycle, the life cycle of individual product, and the fact that the supplier continues to manage this particular product until the end of the life cycle. That's a general idea. So that's an illustrious example. Another illustrious example is Rolls-Royce. I'm not talking about the cars, I'm talking about aeroplane, aircraft engines. And again, even in this particular case, it's rather obvious because no airline companies will buy an aeroplane. They lease them because they are very expensive and they're very difficult to recover investments of. So Richard Branson would lease them and then gradually recover the investment. And so obviously Rolls-Royce will sell a part of the aeroplane, which is also very expensive. They will find natural to lease the engine as well. And so what they do, they basically lease them and they charge out for air miles and unit of power. So they got an algorithm. I don't know how to explain this, but you know, they got a formula to charge it. And basically the important thing is, again, they are responsible, and that's, you can see how, why it happens. Obviously you are actually managing an asset that may fall from the sky and killing people. So you want to make sure that it goes well and keep hold of it, keep it nice and clean, and put a maintenance in there. So you got a sort of contract that lasts in time. So those are you know, prime examples that are very accepted. But in business, really, it's not that difficult to have the buyer to accept PSS. It's quite a natural thing because it's very much a financial decision. Obviously, when consumers get into the question, there is the emotional side of buying, and so that's why it's a little bit more difficult. But there are many examples. So I will come now to one of the things I was saying before, which is why is it not really new? Because one of the most established examples is the classic library, classic civil library, where you go and you got a product, so you borrow it. You got an infrastructure, which is all the computers and whatever they got, that they know that you got a book, they got a place where to keep them. And so it's actually a proper PSS. Is it green? Probably yes, because the products are used forever, so you haven't got a book that is thrown away. So it's quite sustainable in the way it works. And also it's socially sustainable, so it's got a lot of social benefits. Because you don't need to be rich to buy a book, no matter how good, how big it is and how expensive it is. So that's a classic one, and so that could lead you to think, why are we talking about PSS if it's so natural? But it's more interesting when you start to look at products that now, the way our culture works and the way we do things, we tend to buy. And an example, obviously, is the car. So car clubs are similar to car rentals. The only problem is that they want you to be a member of them, and it's being a car club, which means that they got a sort of control over the way you drive one of these cars. And you rent it by a smaller unit of time, so you can rent it by the hour, you can rent a car for an hour. And obviously, if we go a little bit further, we can think about the Boris bikes, and you know, we're talking about the same thing. What the cars do is where it's more interesting perhaps for ICT, because there is the issue of how much petrol do I use and what I am invoicing. So there's a back office and front office, so all stuff that is quite interesting. Now, one of the things that you want to look there is the figures. So recently, in 2010, we arrived at about 112,000 users. There are 26 million cars in the UK. So it's very small. It's really, really a niche. And so, and that's where the question arises, why so small? I mean, why do we buy cars if you can rent them? It's interesting. Telecommunications provider, that's really one of the classic PSS. Forever, you would get your phone, you pay a monthly charge, and you wouldn't pay, you wouldn't buy the mobile phone. So that's an example of, yeah, that's definitely a PSS. There is an infrastructure, there is a network. So in that particular case, again, there was the issue of the financial position of the customer that perhaps wouldn't want to spend money up front to buy a mobile phone. So he was a facilitator. Why doesn't it work with the car? Because with the car, perhaps it's more emotional as a purchase. So I'll expand on that when we start to talk to the customers. So those are real PSS. So they are product service systems that already exist, and you can use them now. You can, you know, become a member of a streetcar or car club or city car club, and drive one of those cars. There are very interesting ones that are, shall we say, pilots, and most of them they got universities involved with. So in other words, someone from universities like Politecnico di Milano come up with this idea, and they persuade a manufacturer to let them try. So this is a very interesting one because basically it's about white goods machines, and it allows you to see some of the benefits. And also, it gives you some of the aspects of why there are some constraints. All of us, when we buy a washing machine, there are opportunities to buy one for £50. They may be very, very cheap. As you know, they are banded from A to, I don't know how low they get. So you got something which is extremely environmentally friendly and sustainable, and something which consumes a lot of energy. So it's your choice. Obviously, if you buy something very cheap, you cannot expect it to be very, very green. So it's a trade-off. But there's always the issue, you know, I come to you and say, you can rent this washing machine, and you say, well, £15 a month or whatever, it's not worth it, I can just pay cash and that's it. And I'll show you why that happens. But anyway, this particular pilot, we got a washing machine that is in your house, and you pay something which includes also the energy consumption, and why not the detergent. The fact is that that way the washing machine doesn't need to cost £50, £50, because it may have a smart connection to the net, to the internet as well as the grid, and so it knows when it needs to switch itself off, and perhaps even let you know. And so it may be perhaps a £2,000 machine. You can actually have that. Now, this one is even more interesting, and it's a pilot which has really taken care in Sweden, and that allows us to, you know, drive home the concept of design for PSS. So what they came out with, it's not the baby, but the pram. They could be rented out or leased by a family. And it makes sense because at the end of the day, you got a baby, and how long would you use a pram for? 1, 2 years, 3 years. So if you look at some of the prams are very expensive. They can be expensive. So does it really make sense to buy one? Does it really make sense to buy a drill? So it's quite interesting as an idea. Even if consumers are quite against, as we see, it makes quite a lot of sense to lease one. So when we're talking about design for PSS, we're talking about a frame which is extremely sturdy, and it can be recycled many times. Very, very sturdy, because really cost is not a problem. You can actually make it very expensive because the customer is not paying it in advance. And then you would have an easily displaceable fabric component, which is where the child stays. So you basically take it off, recycle that. You could clean it, but the way that they choose is actually make it completely recyclable, and you keep the part underneath. So what they found is that the environmental impact was very good, so they reduced that, because you don't need to keep produce the prams, because a pram may be used by 10 families. The problem was that the manufacturer, you know, could have a problem in recovering the money that they were spending, so there's a problem of investment payback. A consumer in Sweden seemed to be quite favorable to that. And that is actually the sort of you know, example that I took for my study. What happened in ICT, and that's where probably you would have to tell me, because I'm not an expert, but the cloud, if I am not wrong, is a sort of example where I use a sort of memory which is on the internet to save my files. So I'm not buying memory in my laptop, but I'm using something that I share with other people. And shared servers are quite similar. So in other words, there are definitely a lot of situation. I mean, to be honest with you, ICT perhaps is the PSS par excellence. You got the software, you got the services, you got the hardware, and really, once what, I'm not sure whether it's actually relevant, because you can. I think even the fact that you got these hard drives today allow me to have all my documents and go anywhere, use whatever machine I find, and work from that. So to me, it looks like it's a very, very strong example of that. Now, I just want to move from PSS for a moment and talk about collaborative consumption. What's the difference? PSS in itself, as a concept, is something that is designed by a company, and its use is implemented as a business model for a company to do their business. The consumer is there and receives or he refuses to consume or whatever, but it's not the initiator, if you see, is the user. And there is a lot of research in, you know, how to design PSS and all the rest. Collaborative consumption is something that starts from consumers. So consumers themselves decide to share resources and products and costs instead of buying them. So if you look, for example, a wheel car, that's about, instead of going to City Car Club or Street Car and share their car, being a member, you could share the car or your neighbors. And so literally, I could rent my car to you. It's not very clean at the moment, but we could do that, shall we say. And so that's an example of where you go, really the consumer doing it in their own initiative. Or you can just share rides, or you can hire things, like could be a house. Or you could even, rent rooms or whatever. You know, this is just a very small example. There is a book that came up in 2010 called What's Mine is Yours, by Botman and Rogers. And, there is a huge list of links there. And what that tells you is that it's really, really an internet-driven phenomenon. Because probably when 100 years ago, when you have small villages, it was quite natural to share things. In fact, when I play PSS to people from developing countries, sometimes they laugh. They say, well, we've done that for ages. And in Italy, about 70 years ago, they had a TV for 10 families. It's quite natural. But in this particular case, I mean, because the way the society developed, now it's not natural anymore. But with the internet, this village effect is coming back. And so it can happen that that people sort of share things. And the way that can be seen by companies is as a threat. Because companies may not sell cars because I share them, and so I don't need to buy another one. And I'm not sure that all companies, you know, are thinking this way, and they're considering, well, it could be a threat. So it's a very interesting, because there are two trends. One of them is a design concept, and the other one is a trend, social trend, and they are sort of converging, shall we say. And I find it very interesting to see whether one could facilitate the other one. So what we've done is then define PSS, and we saw some examples. So the question is, what is the fuss? You know, why is it that important? And why am I interested? And why lots of people are interested? Well, there was quite a lot of attention. You know, it's something that came out in the late 80s with some German experts, and it was sort of taken by a professor called Mont and another called Gottkopf. And they sort of start to write theories about that. And then suddenly, some people started to think, well, that's the Holy Grail, the materialization. You can consume without getting to produce all these cars. So, you know, the materialization and hence the coupling of economic growth and environmental impacts. So that's why people become interested. And I will go to the last line, because that was a little bit of a landmark. The United Nations Environmental Programme came out with a report in 2005 in which they say, yes, we've got to do it. You know, we should try to make an effort to switch to that particular type of consumption mode. And various organizations, like DEFRA typically, or VRAP, they do occasionally call for proposals on PSS, and they want to find out, for example, case studies to see how they work and what problems they got. So that's why there is all this interest, because with the climate change and various other environmental issues, really you got two avenues. One avenue is new technology. So it's something which is called ecological modernization, where they say, well, all this industrialization took us in the hole. Now we need more industrial activity, but with new technology. And that will, you know, alternative energies, a lot of types of technologies that would take us on the green side. And the other one is just, you know, change tack and change completely the consumption method and going towards PSS instead. So in other words, instead of basing the economy on products, basing it on service, which is actually, in economic terms, what already happens in the West, because the West is based 70 or 80% on service anyway. I'm just telling you what my position is in terms of, you know, the project is called Engineering Business for Sustainability, and we start from advocacy ideas and the fact that this advocacy has been already accepted, and we want to see, you know, what is it that will facilitate and what is it that would constrain it. And I sort of zeroed on consumer straight away because I'm a marketer, so it's quite instinctual for me to go there. So what I want to do now is just expand a little bit on the environmental benefits. And the principle is quite, you know, obvious in a way. If you share things, so if 10 people share a car, you first of all got less cars going around, and so you got less space used, you got less emission, and also you got less mining to do for steel to manufacture the cars. You got less waste when the car is taken care of. So just that is the volume reduction is already a big benefit. And that, in a way, resolves one of the guilty factors of marketers, because someone who's in marketing sort of persuade people to buy new things and say, well, this mobile phone is already obsolete, you got to buy another one. So that's another lump of waste that you're throwing in the landfill. So in a way, as a marketer, I may say, well, I can sell more PSS. So I can buy more product-service combination, but there's no waste involved, and so I feel a little bit less guilty. So that's a way that marketing perhaps could have an outlet and do a better job than they do now. But one of the important things is, we go back to the life cycle idea. You got the product, which has got a life cycle, starting from raw materials when they get manufactured and then eventually transported to the point of sale in the logistics, bought by the consumer. Stern says that about more than 50% of the environmental impacts comes from households. So in other words, the consumers, when they use the product, they create more problems than the companies when they make them. Then when the product is disposed of, it ends up in landfill or whatever. So again, you haven't got control. With PSS, the company hangs on to it over the life cycle, and they also control the impacts, the environmental impacts during the life cycle. And they also control the cost as well. So you know, it's easier for me to take responsibility. Legislation, as you know, if you think about the WEEE regulation, waste electrical and electronic equipment, in a way gives me reasons as a manufacturer to do that, because I got to recover it anyway, so why don't I keep all of it anyway? You know, I don't sell it. Then you can even educate consumers, because you got a relationship with them and say, you can go a little bit slower with the car, please, and clean it since you're there. So there is a relationship with the between customers and suppliers that can educate customers. And some says that also improves product design, because again, I design my pram in a way that is sturdier, because I want to reuse again. So in other words, it supports closed loops industrial system, where you go all these ways that goes round and round, and it comes back, is utilized. So you got remanufacturing, you got repairing, you got to reusing. So those are very important things that PSS support. And social benefits are also big, because obviously one of the stories was on which they made a study, they divulged a study, where they said that a baby car seat, the cheap ones are not as safe as the expensive ones. So the implication is, if you can afford a good one, your child will be safer. So with PSS, that could be addressed, because even if you cannot afford the top of the range one, with PSS you can, because you pay a certain amount every month. So it's got very good social benefits, because you just use, you just pay for the usage that you make of it. So if you, instead of having your car on the drive for 23 hours, and you're paying for it, it's not free, you only pay for the hour or so that you drive around. There are also business benefits, because it's easier to keep hold of your customers, your consumers, because you can personalize the product, so it's good for customer retention. You can improve the relationship, put training in, more education, and so it's easier. It adds value to the relationship, and it facilitates communication, because as a minimum, one example I had in one of my focus groups, I had one of the participants who was a member of Streetcar, and when he had a problem, he would call them. I think he had a loudspeaker inside the car, and he could communicate with their service, and if the car wasn't working, he wouldn't start, they would help him out. So more customer service and more communication. So it's not only environment, there is also social benefits. So we talk about the benefits. Now we want to talk about the constraints. And these are a little bit more from literature than from the people that I interviewed. But one of the main problems is, will the product be available when I need it? Because if you need to go out to see a customer, and you are using a car from a carpool, so if you're late, you lose a deal. So you don't want this car not to appear at the right time. And so that keeps you a little bit nervous, shall we say. Will the car materialize, or is it going to be there when I need it? So that's one of the aspects. But another aspect is the, shall we say, the emotional side of purchasing. All of us buy cars, and it's a status symbol in a way. The fact that you got a car rather than another one, there is the issue of brand loyalty. So, in other words, when you buy a product, it's also a way to expressing yourself, to project an image. And in a way, if it doesn't belong to you, it's not the same image. If you can afford a Porsche, is one thing. If you are actually only having it for one day, is another thing. So it's a type of communication that people do. Some of that is more, it's not even proven. It's more conjecture, shall we say. But it makes sense to a marketeer. And the other aspect is that you need to educate consumers. You need to tell consumers why it is good. So in other words, you cannot really expect a customer to buy. And I'm going to make a couple of other points in a minute about the decision making of the consumer. Some people wonder whether the economy could be damaged, because you basically get Ford. We still got Sun Cars manufacturing in the UK. They just started to manufacture the MG in Dagenham. And now we're going to tell them we're not going to buy them anymore. They're not going to be happy. So in other words, there may be an argument that perhaps it could damage a little bit. The UK, interestingly, more than 60% is of the market is company cars. So at least it was some time ago. It's a sizable chunk. So it would be not that vulnerable. But it's still something to think about, whether PSS could be a problem in economic terms. Now, this is a very important point, though, that is really coming from, experience and talking to companies. The problem with PSS is that it's not one of those things that you can do on your own. In a way, it's similar to ICT, where you got the hardware, you got the software, and the two things need to go together. And with PSS, it's similar. Just to give you an example, if you consider car clubs, you got the car itself, you got a special insurance that need to accommodate whoever ends up driving the car. Then you need a proper deal with the fuel company, because you got a card with which you buy the fuel, and you need to sort of reach an agreement for revenue share with them. You need to track this car, and so you need all a system of telemetry. So you need a strong ICT company behind, they sort of know who is driving the car at a given time. And obviously there is security, so there is a company that operates the card that allows you to get in the car. So, in other words, it's not only Ford that needs to do it. You've got a number of companies. And obviously, when you go such a party, lots of problems start. The first is trust. Do they trust each other that, I'm running my business and perhaps the system goes down and the cars don't open anymore? There is the issue of responsibility, which is if the product fails, who is it that says, sorry, could it be I would take the responsibility because I interface with the customer, or does my supplier take the responsibility? So it's a quite big problem. And also the revenue share is another, there may be disagreement of who gets what. This was found by a European project where they come up with a catering project where a consortium of organizations were arranging the catering for homes, basically. And they had a combination of products and services, and products include, for example, glasses, dishes, and all that sort of stuff. And all these problems came up, and especially a plate falls and it gets broken, whose fault is it? So it was a lot of, it was a big problem. And actually, when I interviewed Streetcar and Citycar Club, both of them mentioned the point that a supplier went out of business and they had to replace it quite quickly. And because a lot of the stuff that had been done was customized, it wasn't that easy. So, they sort of had a period of downtime because of that. The only consolation is that their competitor also was down. But that's not a big consolation if you're not taking any money in. And another thing that I sort of come from research is that ICT is very important because obviously you got all this data management, you got all this communication, you got a lot of aspects that need to be ICT driven and ICT supported. So what that means is that A is a huge opportunity for people in ICT, but B, is there enough supply ability? In other words, if all the cars, the 25 million cars that we go on the road now, became share cars, would enough companies be able to cope with that and, wire all these cars? So it would be a little bit of a shock to the system in a way. So that there is the good side, the opportunity, and there is the downside as well. So let's talk about consumers, because that's where we come in the area that really I sort of shaped the new knowledge that I extracted from consumers. I got to tell you that it's still a running project. In other words, I got a number of focus groups, and they are all in a piece of software, and I am still doing an analysis, and I can show you roughly what's going on until now. But then I got to sort of give you some anticipation from my memory to see what's going on. So that's still from literature, and they are very important. The first thing is the insecurity element. So in other words, you don't know what you get, when the car will turn up, when the pram will turn up, and you don't know what the quality is going to be. And also it's very difficult to really know what the cost is going to be. Now, the important thing is that consumers not always are good at mental arithmetics. In other words, they are better at saying, I'm buying this washing machine and it's costing £80. They are not that good at calculating the life cycle cost for 10 years. So in other words, they won't be able, it's very difficult to say, okay, you know, every month you got this bill, electric bill, a proportion goes, you know, is used by the washing machine. And perhaps even if it's £80, at the end, 10 years, it may cost you £3,000. But that's not the way consumers think. Consumers think this way of services, and it's quite obvious because you are telling them this service is going to cost you £15 a month, and so they sum up. But if you say the classic example of the printer, your friends, Hewlett Packard, £80 for a printer, very cheap. But how much is it going to cost when you buy all the cartridges? It's probably £3,000. So that's an example of you go to PC World. Oh, this is Epson. It's 120. That's HP. It's only 80. No brainer. You know, it's obvious. It's not, because the cost time. So the life cycle costing, that's the way it's called, may be dramatic. And that is a key, because as a marketeer, if I were to sell a PSS, it would be very important for me to emphasize, you know, you're buying this washing machine, it's £80, and sell you one which costs you £15 a month and is an A-rated machine, and it consumes less energy. And I need to show you that this £80 machine actually costs you £3,000, and mine is only going to cost you £2,000. Unfortunately, price is important, and it's an argument which is quite, you know, a salesman will tell you, you know, over time it will repay itself. But it's not that easy all the time for consumers. And so it's very easy for them to get taken away. And so PSS may have a negative, you know, role because of that. And also there is the issue that, again, literature says that consumers tend to like tangible products. They look for some sort of tangibility rather than intangible. So what I've done in these focus groups, and Aira helped me in one of them, I come up with a quite complex questioning route, which, let's say, it asked them to think about cars and maternity equipment. Because that way I knew I was comparing two things and you know, judging the way their reaction would change. And what I've been doing, I asked them, you know, what is it, maternity equipment, for you? In other words, I got them to define what the definition of maternity equipment would encompass. Because in the long term, what I want to do, I want to actually come with a case study. So I would like to talk to manufacturers of maternity equipment and come out with a package that includes a variety of product. It would be like a starter kit for before, during, and after the pregnancy, and in the first 1 or 2 years of life. It has been done in Sweden just for prams. I would like to do it bigger, and that's why I wanted to look at that. The interesting thing that when I started to look at the data, immediately hit me was that I'm not sure whether it was bias on my side, but there is a model in marketing called CERCLE, which is basically about the way we judge how good a service is, service quality. And it is based on various parameters, which are assurance, reliability, responsiveness, empathy. So there are things very easy to understand, because assurance is about how sure are you that the product is going to work properly. And reliability is how sure you are that it will come up at the right time, or it will do the job that it's supposed to do at the right time. And I saw them emerging from the analysis. So as I was looking at what the consumer were saying, because, for example, assurance, it's about quality and fitness for purpose. And because I started to talk about sharing bottles, sharing pajamas, and when I was saying sharing, I was just saying once your child is all grown it, you then give it back to the manufacturer, the supplier. The supplier will disinfect it, wash it, whatever, and then it will issue it to another consumer. So that's what I meant by sharing. And the same with prams. So you use a pram for 2 years, give it back, they will recondition it, remanufacture it or whatever, and reissue it. Consumers, though, they were really, really worried about hygiene in particular. So they were really worried if someone has used it. You know, I don't know who used this toy that my child puts it in his mouth. And so because of that, I'm quite nervous. And so they rather not share it. And again, there is this thing about, they all call female respondents and male respondents, obviously, but there is the thing about, you know, cleanliness, so giving assurance that the product is very clean is a key if you want to appeal to a new mom. And another aspect was another part of assurance, which is, have you given enough instructions? Is there a warranty? Is there an health and safety procedure? Because as you know, these things may be, you know, prams may be dangerous. They collapse sometimes. So it needs to be, you know, inspected. So that's something that came out, and the assurance, the A of CERCOL, and I was very pleased. Then we got reliability. So again, another one of classic customer satisfaction measure. And again, the problem is you need to be able to count on this car, because you've got to take the children to school or to the nursery. And being a parent is not a risk. It's not that you would want to take being left on the road, especially because the nursery may not, you know, may fine you or whatever. They may not let you in. Or at least you've got to go to the office to talk to them. And the other thing that I had not expected is the issue of the car seats. Yeah, it's obvious. But I had to talk to the consumers. Obviously, they would need to take the car seat with them and put it in the other car that they are swapping. So again, that was a problem with convenience that it could have been obvious in a way. Then there is the responsiveness. It's about, you know, how fast you can get your hand. And that emerged especially with cars, because cars, you book them. This is a share car. You book and you hope that it materializes at the right time. And again, perhaps that doesn't happen. There was also one of the things that the consumers wasn't thinking about is that if you got a smartphone, you can book it from that. Whereby they were thinking about going back to the office and use the computer. So in other words, that's an example where education seemed the way, because you can educate consumers. Actually, you can use a small smartphone. You don't need to go back to the office. And there was this thing about really having to be an instant service. And to be honest with you, I haven't talked to the suppliers of car sharing service. It's something that is not just possible at all. You know, you can book it in advance. If you don't do that, you cannot have a car which is instant. It needs to be a sort of long-term booking. So that means that people would need to be very organized and very disciplined. So it would require a quite big change in one's way of living. Empathy, so it's about, you know, if you have got a problem, do suppliers care? So that's your problem. So one of the things that the participants were worried about is helpfulness, whether the staff of this company that is in pro service system would advise you and help you to put the car seat on, since you got to swap it quite often. And the reason why they had a sort of negative reaction is because they tried, these things obviously are done when you go abroad, you travel, you got a child, and you got to rent a lot of these things, which is quite expensive. And one of the problems, you go to a car rental, and there is no way they're going to help you to put the car seat in, because they say that they cannot take the responsibility. And so they had some sort of negative reaction, or negative impression. Very importantly also, the emotional side. So all those things that we saw before were all about practical things, where the customer think about, you know, is it going to work for me, and very practical concerns. But interestingly, towards the end of the focus group, so in other words, in an hour of focus group, there were four, and more or less four focus group, they gave us the same content. They were actually starting from the practical side, so they were saying to us, oh, we are not emotional when we buy. And as they went on and on, they became more emotional, shall we say. And that's why you want to do focus groups. So one thing that came out is, well, it's your first baby, you want everything new. You know, it needs to be new, because and it needs to be branded, it needs to be Graco or whatever, or Britax or whatever brand. So it start to, you also, you know, the male respondent pushed by the girlfriend or wife, I got to, you know, I want a new pram. I don't want to use the second one. Another aspect was the family, you know, giving out. In other words, you had your sister and the sister had children, you will get it back, the pram from your sister, older sister or whatever. The fact is that it wasn't seen as a second-hand thing. It was just a family heirloom at that particular point. And so they saw it in a very different way. But that links a little bit with collaborative consumption, because there are examples of people sharing things that, even if they're not in the same family, they are still you know, tending to share their things. So there was an element of emotional content, you know, things that I want my stuff, it needs to be mine, it needs to be his, the child, it needs to be some of the respondents said a specific name, this is his, and I don't remember the name of the child, but it was very, very emotional, shall we say. Then there is another thing, and that's interesting, and I wasn't expecting it, and it was the stigma aspect. So in other words, what the respondents were saying is that there were a sense of shame, you know, by showing that they couldn't buy actually the Graco pram, and they were getting a second-hand one because they didn't want to look like. So it was quite a prejudiced way in saying, well, if you ask someone that can afford it, then it's good. It's good for them. It's not good for us. So for a mom that, you know, cannot afford it, that would be, it won't work well. Or for parents that cannot afford to buy the whole lot. So really, it's for the down and out, not for everyone. So that was quite stronger than you would expect, actually. So it makes you think that there is a need for a cultural change, in a way, in order to accept these sort of things. Even worse, when I was talking about the NHS, passing the sort of things. So it's another emotional aspect, if you will. But there were anomalies. And again, the interesting thing, when these things come out, is that they come out between lines. In other words, you sort of look at the printout and say, they are saying that, actually. So they say they want everything new. Why are they mentioning eBay? So in practice, they are saying that they wanted to buy everything new because of safety implications or whatever. But nearly everyone mentioned eBay and they said, we bought something on eBay. They weren't precise on whether it was the first child or the second child, but they did mention it. So actually, it's interesting that they do buy second hand, but it comes towards the end of the focus group, as you would expect. And some people, some market reports, that's an interesting thing, that's in Sweden, in the UK, in Italy, there are market reports that talk about this market of maternity equipment, really meaning prams more than anything else, which is based 75% on second-hand, so previously owned. So in other words, someone must be buying these things. And that, you know, in a way, put paid of a worry of a company like Britax saying, well, we don't want product service systems user, it would make sell less product. But you could just say to them, well, actually, you're not selling that much because 75% is second hand. With that, you will rent them, but at least they will be all new, which is new and reconditioned as opposed to just second hand. So it's an interesting, if you look at it, actually, they're already doing it, but they don't know and they won't confess that they wouldn't know. So it's quite natural to do a PSS. Now, this is what we have got. Just to add a couple of things that, again, in the analysis that are emerging. As the consumer talked towards the end, I mean, the way I was doing that was there were a couple of key questions that were repeated to see what the change was as the consumer were warming, the respondents were warming to the concept. And actually, one of the questions that I kept asking is, so if you were to, you know, lease or rent these particular products, what sort of services would you add to them? And they came up with a very interesting package, which included, for example, insurance. And when I say insurance, it's not because of running into someone with a pram, but because the pram may break. And so that the worry was, would I be responsible for paying for the pram if it was broken because I dropped something on it? So they wanted an insurance that protected them in that respect. They were talking about training. They were talking about cleaning services. In other words, there was a lot of intangible effect that they came up eventually with. And in all the focus groups, towards the end, there was a very positive aspect. In other words, if there was assurance that, you know, the product is going to be disinfected, is going to be inspected. If it's completely assured that if a car seat has been in a crash, it will be not used again and it will be recycled. So in other words, about traceability, and there was 100% success in assuring them, then they would have been very interested. So it's about coming up with a standard. And in fact, I then have been talking to a few experts and I start to ask, okay, there is a standard for cars, there is a standard for products of various description. For example, a standard that has emerged recently is a standard for remanufactured products, which need to satisfy certain criteria for you to buy a remanufactured product which is as good as new. So is there a standard for PSS? It may be something that we may do. So it may be something that we may create in collaboration with someone, because that would deliver those problems. Or, you know, if you are someone that is using a rental pram, then you may have a standard that assure you that this particular product is in a good condition. So what are the conclusions? So the first point is one of the things that I think I saw enough evidence of is that there is a need for educating consumers to make sure that they understand the benefits and there is no stigma in it. And actually, you know, if you think about the innovators, the first people that adopt a particular product, it may be trendy or fashionable. It may become actually something that is good. And understand that they will expect the performance be lower in terms of they won't expect the car to be available when they need it. And you need to address that, educate them, and ensure them. And also, quite importantly, producing an infrastructure that makes sure that that's true. In other words, that actually the car is available when they need it. So there is a big challenge. And to some extent, it's an ICT challenge, which is all about managing information, who has got what at a particular time. And it's all about scheduling. One of the important things is that designers, so people who have been talking about PSS all this time, what they haven't done is test PSS, because there is not enough examples around, based on a well-accepted customer satisfaction model. So coming up with some parameters when you are designing it that you want to hit as a target, you know, in terms of the customer being satisfied with that particular performance, for example, reliability. So CERCOL, in a way, when I'm going to finalize the last papers, will be my proposition. You can use that. I know it's a bit academic and probably boring, but it's a way to, you know, talking to the designers and say, right, you can add this. Specifically for car clubs, obviously, if they want it to work, capacity is an element. There is not enough. They haven't got enough for them. And then, obviously, they need to have a very, very quick system where I can book them with a smartphone, and where I need to sort of be assured that as I got to go to the theater, the car is going to be there at that particular time that I ordered. Acknowledging, obviously, that I will probably need to plan my life in a better way. But if I book a plane, why shouldn't I be able to book a car after all? One thing which is important aspect to you should take away with you is this thing about the change that is required. So there is a structural change. So people need to work in a different way. There is an issue of skills because, for example, they would be interacting more with consumers. There would be a more long-term relationship. And there is a cultural change as well. So the company need to change in a different way. Today, a company would have a sales manager that would think all the time, I want to shift products. And now they need to think in a different way. I want to shift hours of use, not products anymore. So it's a complete change in way of thinking, different mindset altogether. And my proposition is that really it all works down to relationship. You need to really have a strong relationship to make sure that customers do the right thing at the right time and they are satisfied. So that is a very important support, that one. So what are the implications for the ICT sector? Now, the first one is really important, structural. So it's all about networking requirements. In the cars, in the car sharing example, is obvious. You know, if you got a customer that needs to book it, you need to know what cars you have got available and at what time. So you need to sort of predict when the next car is going to be available. You need to know where they are and where they're going, because obviously there may be that cars may be stolen, damaged. So there is a need for technology, both for tracking the cars, all the invoicing. You know, you're looking about a lot of transactions as the system becomes mainstream. In terms of prams, baby prams, the problem is not that big, because you won't have people swapping prams, but you still need to know who has got the specific prams and how long they held on to it for billing and various other reasons. And another thing that you want to take home is this idea that consumers actually are already doing it, and they're not doing it together with companies. They are doing it more or less against companies, because they are, you know, deciding to share things, and I'm quite sure that when Ford sell a car to someone, they are not thinking, oh, I hope they share it properly. I don't think they want to do that. They want everyone to have their own cars. For even if they got they got a car rental company. And the last one is just a repetition of what we got above. So there is a lot more security needed for sharing products. So final comments. I really believe, based on all the literature I saw and all the advocacy, which is a sort of mode of consumption that really might be a paradigm shift that is required to reduce the problems that afflict the climate, so climate change, pollution, waste, and I think it's a very good proposition. It cannot work on its own. You need to have new technology as well. But I think you know, we need to change the way we consume. Consumption needs to change, and you know, one of the things is you know, and again, perhaps the ICT is one of the sectors that does that, because obsolescence is something which is quite natural. So there's a short life cycles in a way of products, but it's what we're talking about is trying to throw away the throwaway society. So the throwaway society should be thrown away. And have a situation where products are remanufactured and recycled and repaired instead of being destroyed. And companies, whoever is in business, need to sort of, even if we sort of recognize that collaborative consumption may have been stimulated by the economic problems and the economic crisis. In other words, the fact that people are doing it a lot at the moment is growing big time. Is because some of them may be out of work. So there may be this this sort of spike effect that may be arising and may be occurring. And it may be that as the economy recover, people start to say, I want my own car. But I think if I own a company, whatever product I was in, I would really seriously thinking, is there a way I can ride it? Perhaps I can open a separate division, you know, look at segmenting my market and see who are those customers that may share and collaborate in consuming, because I want a way to reach them by a different supply, a different provision, shall we say. So it's a very important area. We got time for questions, and the only thing I ask you is that as you call for a question, you wait for the machine, the microphone, to come near you, so it's easier to hear you. But one of the things I want to make, a very, very short soapbox, I'm still looking for volunteers, and what I'm looking for, I come to a stage now where I'm interviewing businesses, and what I'm asking them is what would take for them to change, what are the perceived problems and you know, constraints that they see could stop a company from moving to that. I've done several of them. But I'm still looking for interviewees that needs to be in companies that are dealing with products, need to be managers, and I'm looking for one-to-one interviews, also interactive workshops, and also, I mean, that would be fantastic, companies for collaborative research. And what I mean by that is a company that would like to try to set up a pilot where they may try to rent products or share them or whatever formula they come up with instead of selling them. Or even they may already have a PSS and they may want to change it. They may, you know, add some aspect that makes them greener. So if you happen to know anyone that could be interested, you know, they could help and would be interested in getting involved, then... there is my email down there, so you could email me and let me know. So, questions and suggestions. Thank you very much.
You used the word sharing, but it breaks down into a number of different scenarios. So, car sharing is where a car is being used by different people at different times of the same day. Pram sharing is rental by one person for 3 years. So they need it for a finite time, but they're not going to share it while they've got it. Then the third sort of sharing, if you like, is a TV. You always want a TV, but you could rent it. And it seems to me that the business models around those three different types of sharing are completely different. And one might be much easier to get going than another.
Yeah, it's a good question. And the reality is that when you're looking at PSS, it's an academic concept and theoretical concept. And when you're looking at the detail, you're looking at different mix of what you're actually selling. And depending on the product you're looking at, some formulas don't work. So in other words, the key thing that make them similar is the fact that you are not taking the property of the product, you are sharing the product. So in fact, a reward, rephrase it, is not that you are sharing, you are not owning it. So you are using a product without owning it. The fact is that in some cases, you know, there are lots of ways of designing a PSS, and in some cases you cannot really share it. You've got to rent it or lease it. And then the sharing, I mean, one of the things that is very important is that as you are renting this thing, as a manufacturer, you are looking down in the long term. In other words, you want to really strive to get this product used by many people. So instead of building a pram to last 3 years, the pram you want it to last 15 years or 20 years. So that it's shared in time, but obviously each individual couple leases it. But the key aspect is that you're looking at a mix of products and services and infrastructure, which sometimes may require even transfer of property. For example, I spoke to a company a couple of days ago, and they do weighing equipment and labeling equipment, basically in Tesco, and they use them to, you know, weigh fruit or salami or whatever. And this equipment, they're not that expensive, you know. Each of the weighing scales is about probably £200. And they actually running, without knowing, a fantastic PSS, because they got a huge amount of service that they are giving, consultancy, training. And I kept saying, you're doing it, this is a PSS. And they say, well, yeah, but we're not renting. And why not? Because obviously as they come out with a new scale, they invested a lot of money into it, and they cannot afford Tesco to say, right, now we rent it, and then after the rental time is gone out, we will go to another supplier because it's cheaper. So in other words, they need to raise this barrier, and so they got to have this PSS where they got a one-off payment, which is a purchase. They call it a purchase, which has got by the commitment to the manufacturer. So I had to recognize that was a PSS. And I persuaded this manager, this is you got the infrastructure, you got the product, you got a huge amount of service, which you are invoicing. So, you know, it's a company where perhaps 70% of their turnover is service. So that's a PSS. And even if you are buying, if you are selling the product. So in other words, the financial formula is a variable. It cannot be really a constant. What is a constant is the different mix of products and service, and possibly the possibility that there is no transfer of property. But again, in that case, I had to admit that was a PSS, and a good one.
Looking at PSS, this sounds like something that my father says to me. He had a lawnmower, which he was able to use for 40 years, and then gave it away to his neighbor when he moved. Today, the lawnmower that I purchased 2 years ago, just out of warranty, doesn't work. And Homebase was saying, actually, it's manufactured for 2 years. So isn't it not just the cultural aspects of people that needs to change? The business model of the companies that organize needs to change in order for consumers like us being able to go towards a PSS. That's my wide history of the world question. The other one is, in your pram or in your washing machine, did you do in order to convince consumers, did you say to them, or did the company say to them, if you bought it, the whole life cost is X, and by the way, quite a lot of it is hidden, whereas if you pay £10 a month, you're getting a much more efficient product, and per month it's cheaper, because that might trigger consumers to think. Because if somebody told me I can lease or rent a washing machine and everything is included, I might actually go for it, but nobody is willing to actually say how that will work.
Okay, so the first question is quite easy. And the answer is yes. Definitely, you know, in a PSS system, you want to really go wild and spend lots of money and do a super lawnmower, which is, you know, use Bowler rod. Because at the end of the day, I got three lawnmowers, and the reason is that my wife is a garden designer, but she never used them herself. So really, we don't use lawnmowers. We use them perhaps once a week. So why shouldn't the lawnmower be used by the neighbor some days? So as a manufacturer, the idea would be you want to create with a, you know, come up with a formula where more people can share it, but you want to engineer something that really is mean, or basically professional, and it doesn't break. It lasts 20 years. That's a, and obviously, if you go and talk to Bosch, they are not that happy. In fact, you know, I try to go and interview them, and they don't like the idea at all, especially because of the drills, which are even worse in that respect. They don't break, but when do you use a drill, really? So, yeah, the answer is the companies should change and make products that are very good. The other question is difficult because it's a methodological question, and sometimes, you know, you make, as a researcher, you make some choices that are not necessarily right. In that particular time, what I was interested in is the emotional response. So in a way, I made a choice, which may be wrong, on not describing the perfect PSS. So in other words, I could have said, right, we got this PSS, they are assured products, they are high quality, they are clean all the time, they replace some parts. There is an insurance content element. And so what do you think? Because that's not what I wanted. I wanted to look at the propensity to shift. And it's a good question, that, because it is a very, very... I'm basically the first that has done focus groups on this. And when I started it, I realized why. Because it's very easy, it's very difficult to ask, what do you think of PSS? I had to say, yeah, you could share this machine or you can rent it. But I wasn't really saying it's a PSS. So in my mind, we are looking at step two, where I already have applied for several grants. Go to a manufacturer, come up with a package. So in other words, have a mock-up as a minimum, but what I would like is a pilot where there is a real running product, showing a real package to the consumers and explaining, you know, how the quality is managed and all the rest, and then asking them. And again, I could have done it before. I could have come up with a mock-up and asked them. But my problem is I don't think I would have come with this idea of assurance and all the rest, because I would have said, this is all looked after. And so they say, yeah, we would like it. Perhaps they would have been stronger on the emotional content. But in other words, it's one of those things is I choose that path, and I may be wrong. Perhaps I would have come with a better results. We will never know. The only thing I could do is repeat it with the way that you mentioned. But I'm not going to repeat it unless I got a real package. You know, it's a company that say, we are Britax, we got this pram, which has been done in Sweden. And you won't believe it, but Mont hasn't done any focus groups. They haven't asked the customers nothing. They just launch it. They got a number of users, and they make them try. And the customer said, yeah, it's good. We would do it. But they never, ever did a real interview. And so that's why. But when I started to do it, I really understood how difficult it is.
You mentioned the propensity of the focus group. How varied are the participants in the focus group? Because if you went to, say, a family in a working-class town and ask them whether they were prepared to share a pram, it would probably be normal for them to go to eBay first or down the local second-hand shop or from the neighbour down the road. A lot of it is trust. But if you go to somebody in Kensington, yes, they'd probably want the one with the gold wheels.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I haven't got a very good answer to it, but in terms of, you know, looking at the methodology, you're right. You know, I should have put a lot of checks and balance to see that there was a very good mix. One of the problems, unfortunately, when you organize things like focus groups is there is a pragmatic element. In other words, It's so difficult. And also, to be honest with you, I put myself in a difficult position because I was looking for either pregnant women or people, couples with very small children, and it's so difficult. And the way I'd done it in the end, the first two, I'd done them in Athfield, in our grounds in the university, and I managed to recruit people one by one, and it was very hard. And they were quite mixed, so there were people who were quite working class, and there were some colleagues as well, so people who were lecturers. I limited the number of the lecturers at 2-3, because otherwise it would have been biased. So that was quite varied, but I couldn't really swear, you know, they were a very good mix in terms of backgrounds. So that was in Athfield. Now, the interesting thing is that they barely knew what car sharing was. They knew what car sharing was, but they didn't know what car club was. They didn't know what streetcar was. The second two that I found a very easy way to do it. I went to a nursery and I said, look, let me use one of your rooms for about 200 quid. Can I use also some of your people that work there? So that was really a very good pragmatic thing because the first two focus groups, I needed 6 months to organize them, and I was waiting. Because also I got deadlines. This focus group, it took about a week, and it was ready. The problem is that it was in Enfield, but the problem is that because they were all in that particular nursery, from the point of view of their background, they were extremely similar. So again, it was a kind of worms, and the fact that I've done four makes me think that it's a quite good mix. But I cannot really, in a report, telling you, yeah, they were very mixed. I cannot do that. So it's a thought for the future. But again, my thinking is, you need a lot of resources to make sure, I don't know, I would need big funds, perhaps to employ companies, you know, agencies to get me the spread that I need. So it would be very expensive and very worthwhile and a very good question, but this time I haven't done it.
But what about postnatal or antenatal classes?
Yeah, no, it's a very good suggestion. In fact, I tried. I communicate with a person in Watford, the person who organized the antenatal classes in Watford, and they said that the trust wouldn't let me. So again, the problem with these things is that I found very easy to talk to people in the industry, even now, and organize this interview. Even if I'm, sort of putting up, have you got anyone that you know? It is much easier. You know, you phone a manager, especially as in university, we've got lots of relationship with companies, and, next week I see them. But with focus group, we found very difficult. And especially, obviously, if I was saying, well, I want people of various ages, but going for people, pregnant ladies, and it's difficult to get people who are in that position in life, so... Yeah, it was a hard thing. And I tried that. It was a very good suggestion. The antenatal classes, I went for that, and just there was the privacy issues. And because obviously, as you know, there are lots of people from Pampers going and want to talk to them, and obviously they won't let them. So, but good question.
There must be the maximum gains perhaps are made when you're getting into mass consumer products, and those are perhaps the most difficult to get people to return and recycle. I mean, thinking even of we used to return drinks bottles for a few pence, but that has ceased to be economic.
Yeah,
there's still plenty of drinks bottles around, but they get broken now. Is it the case, do you think, that this will only ever work for something that's relatively capital intensive to buy, like, for example, car leasing is a big it's a big business and getting pushed out from fleets into consumers now. You get reconditioned aircraft engines, and you will see people saying, whoa, don't touch those. But they're reconditioned by the manufacturers.
Yeah.
So that there's a lot of opportunity, but the financial case must be quite hard to make in many cases.
It is difficult to answer a question like that because of that. In principle, yes, the bigger the transaction. So, for example, if you go buy a camper, it's quite expensive. So it's quite natural. You know, I went for it and I rented it because it's, you know, if you want a good one, it's at least 50 grand. So it makes more commercial sense to rent it. But the fact is that PSS is a design concept, and designers come up with strange ideas. For example, in Cranfield, they came up together with partners in Europe with a PSS that was based on catering. And basically, imagine food. Could that be a PSS? Obviously not. But what they've done, PSS in that particular case, they had the cups, the forks, the knives, the table. So imagine here, you got people coming in, and they got the sandwiches, but also the things that we need to eat. And then they take them away and clean them and use them somewhere else. And they call it a PSS. And there were a lot of things involved, like companies working together. So in other words, in principle, I would say yes. If it's a very small product, which costs a pound, it's very difficult to think how I can do it. Then again, one of the things that you may want to consider, okay, you've got a very small product, very, very cheap, but could you add an element of service to it to make it more expensive? So that's where you got the PSS. So you got something which is very cheap, but it could be rented. But a lot of literature says that, and consumers do say that, you know, that emerged from that. They say, okay, so if actually the way they said, if I was to rent something, then it would have to be the top of the range, like Graco. It would have to be at £3,000, very expensive, because otherwise it's not worth it, the effort of renting it. So I don't know if I answer exactly, but I'd say yes, intuitively, yes. So you would want something which is expensive to be it. But then people buy Ferraris. In practice, there is a creative element where these designer guys come up with unbelievable things. And I think now that marketers will start to look at it, I wonder what sort of services people will come up with to get something that is a pound and sell it for 50 quid, which is a dream that I had many times, and it may be becoming real.
I'm interested in the dichotomy between the very promising idea you've put forward here for a minority of products and the enormous propensity we have over the last 50 years or so persuading people to buy brand new things even though the previous ones still work fine. I still use the cooking pots my mum bought when she was married 60 years ago. But the new kitchen is a classic example of the pointless and unnecessary money spinning that we've been encouraged as consumers to participate in. Now, if you produce, shall we say, a pram that lasts 40 years, who's going to want it in five?
First of all, the thing about the kitchen, I'd like to take it to my wife and say it to her. She wants a new one and I don't want to buy. Really, it's about culture. You know, what do you want to do? Remember also that this is, a lot of that is theory, and we are coming with these case studies. And the car share is already a practice, but the prams, we haven't got a real example. But I suspect that, you know, it takes a complete cultural shift of people get accustomed to, it doesn't matter if it's new or old. Even it's designed to last 40 years, and I'm not really interested whoever rented before. The fashion aspect, the way, you know, it looks like, can be changed by replacing parts that, like the fabric side, that they can be replaced easily and cheaply. So as a consumer, I'm buying a service, you know, I get this pram. The history behind that, I may not be interested in it. I just know that I'm renting it, and when my child starts to work and he doesn't need it, I'll give it back to the manufacturer. So I think it takes, you know, a different way to market it, and, you know, the consumer's changing, you know, this from buying to... I'm convinced that you can actually have a situation where you say, right, you are renting this pram. It's top of the range. It's an exclusive club of renting prams. So you may actually have a status statement in renting as opposed to buy.
But, of course, there's another downside. When I was a kid and when my dad was a kid,
we used the almost identical pram wheels on a plank to make a go-kart. Now, they're not going to be available under this new scheme, are they?
Well, that's why the ICT people need to make sure that they track things, because I would be surprised if some of them would be not transforming go-karts. But I know what you're talking about.
In terms of the role of ICT in designing these packages, do you plan to look into that area as your second part of research? Because obviously ICT is probably has a key role in terms of implementing and probably creating these packages and putting them together.
Yeah, I think that's, again, it's another variable, because it depends on what product will, you know, my hope is link up with the company that makes prams. And in that case, I think the requirement for ICT would be reduced in a way. But then again, I don't know, because once we design it, maybe we see another. But there is less required. If you go a car which is shared, you know, a car club, there, you know, it's very heavy, the requirement, because you got to invoice it all the time, you know, billing. So I think it may be that once we approach people who are in prams, no one will want to work together. And it may be that we will link up with people that are in lawnmowers or in drills. And those guys, because lawnmowers and drills are damaged because they got blades, they will want to know who had it when it was damaged. So there may be more requirement in there. So depending on the type of company that we collaborate with, there may be more requirement. Having said that, again, I go back to the point I was making about the design aspect. It's a creative element. In other words, once you are thinking, can I design a PSS, which it was known as a pram, it may be that you design it in a way that there is a strong ICT component. So we don't know that. For example, the scenario of the car crash where there was a baby car seat in a car, obviously you need to have a database that you know what car crash have occurred and what was in there, so that you know that this particular seat needs to be destroyed and it needs to be 100%. You cannot afford to fail on that. No failure one. So that's a concrete example where you may have this need for traceability that calls for ICT.
In terms of saving the planet, which market area is the highest priority to get this to happen in?
Well, that's a very, very difficult question. I probably am not entirely qualified to answer that. I would say that there are, you know, ICT is very important. I've been involved in a project where we look at what we call the 98% versus the 2%, as opposed to ICT applications that can assist other industries, such as reducing the energy use or whatever. So in other words, the positive aspect against the negative aspect. I think obviously we've got visible industries such as the automotive industry that unfortunately is a big problem. Even today the cars are very, very environmentally friendly compared to the past, but they're still very bad. And even electric cars, they got a lot of issues like cadmium having to get rid of and so on and so forth. Obviously one of the biggest offenders is a PSS, which is airlines. You don't buy an airplane, you fly on it, and they are leased as well, but they still do a lot of... I think to give an answer to your question, you need a huge study, which I know that some studies have occurred, and I know that, for example, the ICT industry is responsible, allegedly, for 2% of the the impacts, and the air transport industry for another 2%. I know that the households, on their own, they are responsible for 50%. But I'm not really update on, you know, the final culprit. So PSS is a general idea at the moment. It's not, I cannot give you any assurance. But I would say that prams perhaps are less important than cars.
Thank you very much, Maurizio. That has been a very different sort of presentation. It's given us things to think about that perhaps BCS doesn't think about as much as we might. You've taken us on a completely different journey to the ones that we're often hearing here. So we thank you very much for that. And I would like to take the opportunity to present you first with the Hertfordshire BCS's bottle of wine.
Thank you very much.
I hope you'll enjoy that.
When I'm at home, after driving.
Yes, definitely. Now, I have to think about some way in which we can share this. And I would like to present you with the a very fine book from the BCS Library.
Thank you.
And our sound engineer has produced a very nice book plate for you.
Thank you very much.
To remind you of your evening here.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.